Very stimulating to see so many out at night. Almost think of the past in some assemblies, including my own, to my shame. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3. And verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, those holy scriptures were limited to the Old Testament. And there was no question in Timothy's mind as to their divine inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, that's something new. Verse 16. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. This was Paul's last epistle. What does he mean by all scripture is given by inspiration of God? Timothy had no doubts of the Old Testament as his grandmother and mother, Lois, had taught him. But what about these new scriptures, all of Paul's 14 epistles in circulation, three of the synoptic gospels, what about them? Well, Paul is saying that they're just as much scripture as that Old Testament that you received your instruction from when you were younger and before you heard the gospel. Now turn over to 2 Peter. And again, chapter 3. In verse 15, 2 Peter. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now, Peter is making quite a concession here, because he'd had a falling out with Paul at Antioch. But here he's fully reconciled, and he's referring to the writings of the Apostle Paul and commending them. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things which some things are hard to be understood. You remember the Lord Jesus said, I've got a lot of things to say to you, but I can't communicate them now because you're in no condition to hear them. Well, Paul had communicated many of those things, particularly in the Epistle to the Hebrews, which must have been extremely hard for a Jew to receive. Even Peter, who had had that vision, you know, on the housetop, the sheep come down. But let's read on here. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own instruction. Now here the Apostle Paul is saying, the epistles I wrote, they're a lot of hard revelations for Jews, and there are those that are wrestling them to their own destruction, the Judaizers that we read about in the book Galatians. And then he says, they not only tackle the scriptures that Paul had written, but also the Old Testament. They were higher critics of that day. But what I want to point out is that Paul, that Peter aligns the writings of Paul with the other scriptures. They're both equal. Paul's writing, by the way, there's just as much scripture as the other scriptures, the Old Testament. So we have a precious, holy Bible. Now, I don't want to appear vulgar, but here I've got a package. And inside of this package is a Hershey candy bar. But it's been lying there all day. I didn't, in my satchel. Maybe some cookie jar fingers have gotten a hold of this package and rummaged through it. So I'll say this package seems to be containing a Hershey bar. It seems. I can't be concrete in my statement. Well, the only thing is to investigate. There it is. It seemed to be, now it proves to be a Hershey bar. But there's one other test, which is final. Now, I don't want to get your mouths watering. But I'm going to be your representative tonight. It works. So there's my outline, and I don't think you'll forget the outline. This book claims to be the Word of God. You open it. Time and time again you read, thus saith the Lord. And Ezekiel said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And the Lord Jesus, after he fed the 5,000, and he had quite a following that had crossed the Sea of Galilee, and they were seeking the Lord for another handout. He said, don't seek me for the bread that perishes, but labor for the meat and the bread that doesn't perish. And by the way, except ye eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, ye have no life in you. Now that's a figure of speech. It has nothing to do with the Eucharist or the Holy Communion, which the Catholics grab and say that you're eating the God when you partake of the wafer. No, when you eat the Word of God and drink His blood, you are appropriating. When you eat, you appropriate food. So thy word was found, and I did eat them. All right, here's this book. If you were to go down into the Bible Belt, North Carolina, and ask, what is this book? It's the Bible. Well, what else is it? But it's God's Word. They may not have read it or read it very much, but there's enough evidence to convince them that the Bible is the Word of God. It seems to be. Then when you make a little further investigation, you find it's the most publicized book in all the world. And that it's been translated into more languages than any other book in the world. So that gives it a preeminent standing. It seems to be. Well, why such significance given to a book? Well, a good reasonable explanation is that it seems to be the Word of God. But then when we open it and study it, we find that, well, it's a mystery book, it's a miracle book. Man, if he wanted to write it, he hasn't got the ability to accomplish his purpose. And furthermore, he couldn't write it, even if he wanted to. This book is out of this world. The Lord said, Lord, I'm speaking to you the words that my Father has given me from heaven. Now I'm going to come under this second heading. It claims to be the Word of God, by not using the most usual proof, and that is prophecy. You're well acquainted with that. But Luke tells us that the Lord Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Or we could say that the Bible carries its own evidence, many infallible proofs. And that it is entirely new. In Isaiah 55 we read, your thoughts, and this is God speaking, are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. So there's a tremendous chasm between God's ways and your natural ways. Now man has been religious right from the start. We get that from the attitude of Cain offering a sacrifice of his own invention. And men have been doing that ever since. But it's according to their imagination. Every religion and book, read the Book of Mormon, or you can read the book of the Mohammedans, the Quran, do. Where does this Bible get not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Yeah, but Nicodemus would naturally say, well, I've taken holy orders. I have, like the rich man that the Lord encountered, given all that I possess. I've done all this. Counted as dross, that you might win Christ. Now I said, man wouldn't write this Bible if he were able to. Who would write and condemn every religion that this world has known and enhance this one religion and think it would go over? Why, the intolerance of the Bible immediately develops opposition. And that for fair. And this Bible has been burned and criticized, and every attempt has been made to keep it from the people. Why? It's so unnatural, but so natural with God. It's new. And then again, this Bible presents God as a Trinity, a mathematical impossibility. Who would you expect to believe that? Well, I certainly wouldn't believe it. Unless I were convinced that it was divine inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. But the Bible presents a God that is distinct from his creation, and yet in his creation. Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? If I go down, oh, that's even beating down to his paradise. Down, to the lower parts of the earth. Behold, thou art there. If you read Professor Orr's book, The Christian View of the World, he says that God is three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we look into the world, we find that this world is, as Brother Reggie has been telling me, a combination of threes. Three primary rays of light. God is an individual, and yet he emanates the whole world. Now that's pantheism. And millions of people in the world today are very comfortable with pantheism. We even have the gurus coming over here and finding it quite profitable. Well, God is everywhere, but that's only partial truth. The Hindus have that truth, but they won't admit that God is one and distinct from his creation. But the Mohammedan does that. But God is so far off and so isolated that he's Allah and calls for prayer. But very little is expected from Allah except his absolute will. Well, my Bible presents a God, a sovereign God, that balanced with he is everywhere. And then my Bible tells me that God has become man. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the flesh became man, Emmanuel. Where did that come from? Oh, you say the Indians have got God men. Yes, but it's just like a dynamo sucking up the electricity that's all around us. They're just sucking up the great impersonality of creation. But my God says that he sent his Son into this world. All I'm trying to present is, where did man get that, and where would he expect anybody to believe it? It's so fantastic. So out of this, that's what it is. Out of this world. What a proof. That man wouldn't write it, even if he wanted to. He wouldn't get any money for it. He wouldn't expect to be popular as an editor or writer. What does the Bible have to say about man? That's me. All of the other religions exalt man. Come on, it's up to you. The humanism that's so prevalent today, it's up to you. The world is yours. Kipling. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and all that's in it. And what is more, my son, you'll be a man. That's natural. My grandson has that Kipling's if framed. And a good Christian that if I were to name him, why, you'd know him as an elder, but he's gone now. But he had Kipling's if in his room, his study, his den. But that's from beneath. 20th century Stoicism. But what does the Bible have to say about you and me? And expect people to believe it and to swallow it and to rejoice in it. Well, man, when he writes, this Bible condemns the best of men as well as the worst. It proves to me, who would write these things unless what I read to you, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and so on. Why, the doctrines of scripture are so insulting to the natural man and his ideas of religion and of himself. And the only way I can account for it being the bestseller that is in the world tonight is that all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God. And parallel with that, with the Scripture, men have been born again. I can remember reading the Bible in an old freighter coming from Buenos Aires to Holland. The mission people had put testaments in our bunks. Couldn't. Dry as dust, I said. But sometime later, I was born again, and I've been an ardent reader, if I may do that, say that without boasting, of the Scripture ever since. And I have beheld wondrous things out of God's Word. But unless I had been born again, this Bible would have still been dry as dust. So the only way I can account for people accepting all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable is because they have had a parallel experience. They have been born of the Spirit. And a person that is born of the Spirit is what? If any man be in Christ, there is new creation. But unless you've been born again, well, the natural man, oh, here we've got him again. And what is our point now? The Scripture presents a God that is entirely beyond human imagination. And the Scripture presents man and insults him and tells him he's lost and hell deserving. And yet there are millions in the world today of every nation, kindred, and tongue that believes it. And the only way you can account for them believing it is that at Pentecost the Spirit of God came down and enabled those who believe to be transformed and to behold wondrous things out of God's law. All how that Bible proves to be. Have you thought of the ethics of the Scripture? Out of this world. What ethics are being practiced by Baker and Bush and Sade Hessein? Do you think that they are dominated, and the Marines that have been always looking for a few good men to be influenced by? Love your enemies! Do good to those that persecute. That's in the Bible. Did you like that? Only if you've been born again. When this Bible, the New Testament, was brought into the world, the Jews were well established. They believed the Old Testament, and they were legally dominated. And they required a sign. And there weren't sufficient signs and miracles for them to believe. And they became opposers of the Scripture and have been that way ever since, except individuals. So Paul was commissioned to go to the Gentiles and preach. Preach what? That man is hell-deserving sinner. That Christ came, and he was a man that had never sinned. And that he was a peasant, and he died as a malefactor. And was raised again. When Paul preached that in Athens, they laughed him to scorn. Howbeit some believed, and their spiritual eyes were opened. They understood. But as far as the majority, well, what were the ethics of the ancient world?
Valor! Valor! Courage!
exemplified by the Roman legions. Herod, that rascal, that character that wriggled across the pages of history, a murderer, an adulterer. But he had honor. He had the daughter of his, living girlfriend. Danced before them at a big, great banquet. And Herod was taken off of his feet. Oh, young lady, name it, and I'll give it to you, the half of my kingdom. Well, John the Baptist had rebuked her mother and Herod for this illicit relationship. And that had rankled in that woman. Oh, that's the natural attitude. And the stripteaser went to her mother. So what shall we do? You go and say to John, Herod, I want the head of John the Baptist. He was in prison, you know. Now, Herod was the superstitious man, and he didn't want to go that far. He wasn't expected it. But all of his courtiers were around him at that banquet, and for honor, his word was tantamount, good. Boy, ordered his henchmen to bring out the head of John the Baptist on a charger. But that was the attitude. That was the acme of character when Paul was sent to the Gentiles to preach. And what did he preach? Did he preach honor? Well, in a certain sense he did. But he preached something that was diametrically opposed to the ethic of that day. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, I thought the philosophers, I thought that the captains of the Roman legions, they were on the way. They were the ideal. Not when you read, blessed are the meek. And then again, give to him that asketh thee. And if you get a smiting on the cheek, turn the other way. You expect somebody to praise and buy and study a book that tells you to do those things? Unless God's nature and ways are being introduced into a world of sinners. Another thing that abounded in the world that Paul preached in. Patriotism! Patriotism. And it inspired the Roman legions to conquer the world. But I don't find a scripture that seconds that for a Christian. And there have been a lot of Christians, and I've got to admire them in many ways, that have been non-combatant. The Dunkards and the Mennonites took that stand. Well, get some ground for it. The Quakers. And they suffered all so much for it. Until finally William Penn gave them an asylum in good old Pennsylvania. In the Old Testament, there are specifics given to a king. He was to read the law, because he loved the whole Bible. It was the law, Lord Moses. He was to write it out with his own handwriting. He wasn't to assemble horses. He wasn't to have many wives. And he was to honor the law. And by honoring the Lord meant keeping the law of Moses. And that, all those specifics were given to him in the Old Testament for a king. But over in the New Testament, plenty of instruction for fathers, mothers, parents, children, slaves, you slaves, honor your master. You slaves, stay where you're called. If you can get liberty, fine, but don't be rebellious. Is that the kind of thing that our trade unionism wants? That's in the scripture. And all that instruction for social relationship, but no mention for a magistrate, a senator, a president, or a king. Honor the king, you Christians. And who was that king at that time? Another wicked character that wriggled his way across the pages of history. Nero. Talk about proofs. Either this book is the book of a madman, or it's the book of God. You've got to choose it. If it's the book of God, submit, believe, honor. He that honor me, I will honor. So this book proves to be the word of God. To whom? Those who treat it aright. And there's a whole psalm, 119th, longest chapter in the Bible, extolling the scriptures, extolling things that are so abhorrent and an affront to the natural man. And yet, there are many, many that have lived and have died for the book. So, brethren, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when was made known unto us the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus. And just as God has made the world and our little planet, you study the fly, you get to the end. There's still profundities. Doesn't matter what area you study. In natural science, you can go so far or no farther. The rest is mystery. Well, it's God has made this world, and it's beyond our capacity to understand it. This is God's book. And there are profundities in this book. God's sovereignty. Man's free will. All the problems are there. But your ways are not my ways. And Paul says, we shall know. We need another sense. We shall know even as we're known. But just at present, we walk by faith and not by sight. And what is our faith anchored to? The Holy Scriptures, which are wise and good for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Ah, we read about the natural man, a dime a dozen. But the Scripture can make what? The man of God, who should be and can be fully furnished unto all good works. I think of the words of the poet Dryden, an English poet, in his remarks to the scripture. He said, whence but from heaven could men, unskilled in arts, in many places born, in many parts, weave such agreeing truths, or how or why should all conspire to treat us with a lie? And ask their pains, unheeded their advice. Salvation their gain, and martyrdom their price. Well, an infallible God has given us an infallible book. I wonder if we can read that, sing that. Is it in the book? Precious Holy Bible, Treasure Rich and Rare. Remember Mr. Gibbs? Hello, Gibbs. Is it in the book there?
Yes.
All right. What number is it? What number was it? 40?
462.
462. All right. I have a job picking up consonants with my hearing. Numbers. Ah, here we are. Precious Holy Bible.